Hi, dear student. This is Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah with you. Once again, come to our new chapter today, a topic pertaining to sustainable tourism. Very important topic for the growth of tourism. So, what we will be learning and what is the objective of learning is to understand the concept of sustainable tourism and know about the different aspects related to the sustainable tourism. Also, know about linkages of tourism with the environment and community. All this is our learning objective, and they are linked to the growth of sustainable tourism. So let's begin. Sustainable tourism development. World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, it defines sustainable tourism as tourism that takes full account of its current and future economic, social, environmental impacts, addressing the needs of visitor, the industry, the environment, and host communities. So this is a definition that explains the meaning of sustainable tourism. So let's pick up from the definition what UNWTO suggests. It takes full account, which means it takes into its grip the complete linkage with current and the future economic, social, and environmental impacts. So basically, you don't talk about gaining certain thing for an immediate benefit out of the tourism industry, but we have to have vision, put up the policies, put the practices in accordance how it will impact the future. Further, addressing the needs of visitor. At the same time, what a tourist, visitor, traveler wants from a particular destination that he or she has traveled to. So, addressing them, which means providing them, offering them, looking into the perspectives of bringing in what a visitor is expecting out of a particular destination. And the industry, not only the visitor, because to the visitor, who provides all this? The tourism industry, the hospitality industry, the aviation industry. So their social and economic impact has also to be borne in mind by implementing sustainable tourism. And the environment. In previous lectures, we have understood how does an impact on environment damages tourism, damages the destination. So what is the environment? How do we take care of environment? As we all know, for us, the environment could be the greenery around, the nature, the beauty, the water bodies, the land. All are these environment that is around us and the host community. Now, definitely, if any gain, any benefit that is obtained by tourism industry that is succeeded into implementation of these sustainable policies, who could be the better beneficiary of it? The host community, the people who live in that area. Could be a destination in itself, could be a rural township, could be a hill station, could be a larger area of a region. All those who support the tourism, who have that sort of natural environment with them, they are the host community. So they should benefit maximum. Ultimately, what would happen is, If all these components are taken into consideration, you can sustain the tourism growth, which means the growth would remain for more years to come, longer time. You see, tourism is, of course, a natural resource, but to continuously get benefit out of it, you have to address all these as a sustainable tourism growth. Sustainable tourism development, we look further. Sustainable tourism development guidelines and management practices apply to all forms of tourism in all type of destination, including mass tourism and the various niche tourism segment. So it's not linked only to the tourism linked with nature, tourism with adventure, tourism with any particular forms and types that we have seen. It is not linked with one. Practically all component or all types and forms of tourism has to implement, practice the guidelines given by UNWTO for sustainable tourism. In all types, in all segments also. Sustainability principle refers to the environmental. Once again, it principles apply to environmental, economic, and socio-culture aspect of tourism development. Socio-culture, taking care of the host community, taking care of the culture. With the mass tourism happening, it should not damage the host community's culture. At the same time, the social impact should be minimum. Of course, there can be a social impact coming in by arrival of tourists and by the service provider adjusting their own environment. But ultimately, the beneficiary of any tourism planning and the benefit should go to host community. So, development, and it is needed that a suitable balance must be established between these three dimensions. A balance has to be brought in. And how that can be brought in? By looking and studying the impact of environmental, economic, and socio-cultural aspect. So how much it will impact from environmental part, how much it would damage. For example, certain tourist destination are building up various activities, various man-made structures, ultimately damaging the marine life, because you claim the land, you enter into sea, huge amount of things are happening. Say for example, Worli Sea Link or the Palm Island that was built in Dubai. They had to do it deep into the water, ultimately putting up, blasting certain thing and affecting the marine life. So that has also to be seen, and that's an environmental impact. Socio-culture, of course, with the arrival of tourists, it should not damage the social canvas of that particular community. Say, for example, a 5-star or 4-star property has been established in a rural area or a resort for that matter. And the local who are not used to that type of a culture would start getting an impact by arrival of either domestic or international tourists, ultimately damaging their socio-cultural canvas. So that has also to be studied. And obviously, the economic bottom line, money should come in, balance of payment should go up, GDP should go up, foreign exchange earnings should go up. That's an economical benefit from tourism. That also has to be sustained. As you can see, for example, few countries where their currency gets devalued from time to time. Ideal example is Turkish lira, which has been seen quite a few drop. Also, from our own country, Indian rupee, is getting its value lesser and lesser in comparison to dollar. So all this, of course, not happening because of only tourism, but yes, tourism has an impact on it. Some countries have gone so strong that their currency is very strong currency. Say, for example, Euro, US dollar, Japanese yen. These are all strong currencies of the world. And who benefits? The host community. And because of the sustainable tourism development policies, the government or the players, tourism players, put into practice. So that's according to UNWTO, sustainable tourism should make optimal use of the environment resources, an optimal use, systematically using it, not overusing or not underusing. Optimal, right? What you can get a benefit out of it, that should be taken from the environmental resources that are available. Maintain essential ecological process. You have to maintain. For example, if you cut tree in one part, then you have to plant tree in the same area at somewhere else. Because you have cut in one area, you have to plant. And this is what ecological process. We have done a campaign called Plant a Tree. Crores of trees are planted, were planted in India and in various states. Trees were, that's taking care of ecology, take care of the usage and carbon impact. That's what we are taking, an ecological process. We are taking care of bringing in biofuel, less use of fuel, more of electric. Look, we are bringing in electric car, electric bike. These are all so that there is less carbon impact on the environment. And obviously, more the carbon impact, the tourist, the culture part of a tourist destination gets eroded or impacted. Give example of Taj Mahal, for example. Taj Mahal, around Taj Mahal in Agra city, there were a lot of tanneries producing leather goods and other things. And ultimately blowing up carbon from those factories and damaging the skin of Taj Mahal. The Taj Mahal marble was getting slowly damaged. So many have been moved from those places. Dumping of gray water, dirty water has been stopped in Yamuna River, which passes through Taj Mahal, so that it has a clean environment. So process is monitored and maintained, and also help to conserve natural heritage and biodiversity. Now, when we talk of biodiversity, we think of various components that happen due to natural acts, growth of mangrove, marshland. All these keep happening because of biodiversity, to which human beings have to make, like we dumping so much of dirty water into the sea in Mumbai, for example. You cross from Bandra to Mahim and you have that creek. Underneath you see the dirty water flowing, and that goes where? Into the sea. And likewise, rivers all over India, North India, we talk of Ganga, Clean Ganga campaign. It's going on for years. So that biodiversity also happens on the natural land. Excess amount of water table being used, ultimately cavity formation, and suddenly you find the whole land sinks because the water table has gone and there is a cavity formation. Ultimately, because of that biodiversity, because of the impact, you have landslide and many such elements. So that has to be systematically arranged. Like I mentioned, planting the trees that will have and hold the soil. Ultimately, the landslide will be less. then cultural authenticity of host community. Every host community that promotes a tourist destination or those who live around those tourist destinations have connectivity with their social and cultural activities that they practice. So obviously that is a responsibility that we respect them. No host community will ever impose on you that you start practicing this, but at least as a code of ethics set by UNWTO, we need to respect others' socio-culture setup. Everybody has a right to have what they believe in as their social and cultural practices. That could is also include religious practices. That is why we have seen that entering various religious places, you need to be properly dressed up and respect to be shown to those religious practices. Likewise, any cultural site, if you go into and take part in some local group dancing, then you should be respecting their culture. Then conserve their built and living culture, heritage, and traditional value. Everybody is proud of the traditional value. That is what we call in Hindi as samskar. Samskar has the actually traditional values that come to us, and that has to be respected. These are all part of sustainable tourism, all put together. Tourism is, of course, an industry that has an economic impact, but retaining the social culture, the host community benefit, the use of local items, and staying at locally provided food, all these are part of sustainable tourism. Again, contribute to the intercultural understanding and tolerance. This is very important in international tourism. Again, as a sustainable tourism. Every citizen of a country has a right to have a passport if he or she doesn't have a negative report from respective authorities. He or she has all the right given to him or her by the Constitution to apply for a passport. But no citizen has as a right to ask for another country's visa. It is only the decision of respective countries' authorities to grant you visa or refuse. It is not our country, it is other country. So contribute to the culture, understanding, and tolerance. Here comes the tolerance. All international tourists have to show tolerance to their values, to their culture, and to the practices that they have in their society, in their socio-cultural setup. So as a tourist, if you have gone, and few things you may not like it, so either you go away from there, but and show your tolerance. You cannot be rude to them. Why do you eat this? Why do you wear like this? Is their culture? And you have gone there thanks to that country who has given you visa as a tourist to come in. So see, if you don't like, just get out from there. Show your tolerance, and that is sustainable tourism. Ensure viable long-term economic operations. So whenever any policies in a tourism is put in, it has to be a long-term, not immediate benefit. Of course, for seasonal, you may look at the seasonal benefit as an economic impact, but putting up a 5-star property, building up an entertainment park, you're looking at X number of people to come. When Burj Al Arab, the famous building in Dubai, was built, initially the idea of it was to be for royalties, but then it was gifted to the tourism industry or to whoever is the owner, to the owners of this, they dedicated this to the tourism industry, allowing the commercial tourists to come and stay at Burjal Arab. So when they put this up, their whole plan was to build it for royalty, for specific guests of the ruling family. And then now anybody who can pay the price of that hotel can go and stay there if you can afford to stay. So long-term economic operation, so planting of such any project for that matter, should look at the future and how you would start earning out of that. Providing socio-economic benefit to all stakeholders. All the stakeholders, all the players, tourism service provider, tourist guide, tourist service provider, airlines, hotel, all these stakeholders should get economical benefit out of it fairly distributed, not distributed as and when. Of course, the pricing would matter, but you cannot just say whoever wants to come to India should stay at XYZ hotel that is owned by government of India. No, and likewise in any country for that matter. It should be distributed fairly. All who have put in, who are players, and this is what free economy suggests. Unlike old eras, which we still see in few countries of the world, but that's not, we are going to talk about it. What we are looking at, a fair distribution of whoever is the tourism player in that particular destination or an economy. All have the right, this is my price because I'm three-star property, and this is my price because I'm a five-star property. Of course, the price would differ, but any three-star offering the price has all the right to ask for a guest because they are equally priced. It's the guest's choice to select what they want. So fairly distribution is very important. That is why all tourism players, especially the travel agents, the tour operators, are unbiased. The moment any travel agency, tour operator go biased, then it results into losing clientele. Because you have to show to your clientele, I'm talking about the practical path of tourism, that means travel agency. You put up all the products, this is three star, this is four star, this is five star, this again is a three star. They are priced like this, 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 plus count on SWOT analysis and let the consumer decide on it. For example, Mumbai to Dubai, how many flights go? You put before your customer the number of flights that are operated from Mumbai to Dubai, and it's a selection by the customer. No, I want X airline because its departure timing suits me. I like Y airline because their meal service is good. I like Z airline because they have in-flight entertainment, which is superb. It's a choice of a passenger. So fair distribution is very important. The benefit should come to all the media player, and that is again a sustainable tourism. So if you look, dear student, the sustainability path in tourism, hospitality business, it quite well has to be quite well planned and to be shared in the market for a sustainable growth. Then only, as I said, if you practice all this, will come and the tourism destination would have a sustainable growth, because you have taken care of environment, economy, socio-culture setup, community development. And what happens as a result, many destinations have come out of the party line. They have evaluated themselves and are out of party because of the taken care of the host community. So ensure viable long-term economic operations. fairly distributed. So what are these benefits that include? Stable employment and income earning. It should not be a seasonal only. Of course, season has impact on every tourism industry or hospitality industry, but employment should be stable. Okay, 3 months rainy season, all the workforce in the field. At the same time, we don't have much tourists because there's so much raining. People don't travel. So ultimately, the requirement for labor force falls. But stable, once the tourism start, you come and join again. Especially those who offer seasonal jobs, those industries. Those tourism industry I'm talking about. Like, for example, you go to Mahabaleshwar in the heavy downpour and roads being blocked from main cities like Pune and Mumbai. Obviously, nobody can go up to Mahabaleshwar. And ultimately, the people working there, the employees are busy with their farming work. So less tourists, and they are given to go and work in the farm. This was an example. Also, social services to the host community. And social services is what? Lifting their capacity, not allowing them to remain in a situation which their ancestor used to live. Bring them up, raise their living standard, provide them employment, and build their capacity so that they are also well off, they also benefit out of the tourism earning. Social services could mean you provide them education, you provide them good interpersonal skills, technical skills. I'll give you an example of the famous new airport that is coming near Mumbai, Kharghar. There, the local community from whom the land was taken, they were assured this social service, meaning they were given training for getting ready for any aviation tourism related jobs that may crop up after the airport start functioning. As a result, they surrendered their land, of course with monetary benefit, but they gave their land to build for an airport, and local CIDCO assured them some training, social service. And like that, social service could also mean better health facility, better learning facility, better mobility around, and so on. Contributing to party elevation, and this is very important. I have already mentioned about this, that party has to be elevated and capacity to be built up. Everybody wants to have a good lifestyle, good earning, good saving. Why not? Why not? And that is part of a sustainable tourism. I gave you the example of host community in Kharghar, and likewise many such resorts which have come around Mumbai, for example, near Igatpuri, Nashik, Karjat on way to Pune. You find a lot of such new resorts which have come in, where the local tribal people or the natives have been provided job, and their party has been removed to some extent. Okay, now we look at the basic element of sustainable tourism. Look at this as a sustainable tourism: environmental, economical, social, and cultural. All this are the part of sustainable tourism. So we take the basic element of sustainable tourism are economic, environment, and socioculture. We have spoken quite a lot on this. We'll continue talking. This means sustainability must be met in all these areas for tourism to be considered sustainable. So in case if you have, say, example, cruise liners who call at various islands in Caribbean, And if they don't take care of the environment, if they allow cruise ship to dump their grey water and waste near their island, utilize the resources available there to the maximum, say if they have water available, pure drinking water, and if they suck the whole water for the consumption of cruise ship only, the local community who live there may find it difficult to get drinking water. So that has to be sustained and taken care from socio-culture part. Sustainability must be met in all these areas. As sustainability in tourism was being propagated through its principle, it influenced the emergence of many other kinds of, such as ecotourism. So with this in a mindset, with this coming up, let me tell you the history behind it. The sustainability, the green wave of tourism started in European countries. They realized that it will grow and we have limited environmental facilities around the world that has to be retained. If you start consuming, say for example, minerals, natural resources that are available, say for example, petrol, sooner or later it is going to dry down. So likewise, environment also, if you don't take care of it, start damaging, which is a employment source for tourism industry. Ultimately, it will have a negative impact. So sustainability must be met in all these areas of tourism to be considered sustainable. As sustainability in tourism was being propagated through its principle, it influenced the emergence of many other kinds of, such as ecotourism. People in Europe, when they implemented, the respective government started putting this ecotourism as a mindset for future generations to come in. They naturally got education, understanding, social responsibility of those citizens to take care of environment. As we always say, there is only one earth for us to live. We cannot go and migrate to another planet and start living there. Maybe it would come sometime in future, but right now we have this planet. Whether you migrate from here to Canada or to Australia or you work in Gulf countries. Again, that's all this planet Earth. So you have to take care of this planet Earth by putting into practices all sustainable growth. So Western countries, Norway and other countries, Northern Europe, all these started implementing sustainable tourism. Students, you'll be noticing, or rather must note, that Western tourists and likewise many international tourists, rather all practically, I've seen good number of tourists traveling abroad taking care of sustainable tourism. They take care as a responsibility of their own to provide for ecological ecotourism trend. Nature tourism, you just go. You see, Western tourists, if he or she goes down to an orchid or a farm where blossoming flowers are there everywhere, they won't pluck a flower. It looks good on the tree itself, on the plant itself. If you need to buy flower, buy from a shop selling flower bouquet and not pluck, because many a time they are ornamental flowers. They are planted there on those plants to provide beauty. That is taking care of environment. Not pluck a flower and make it barren without a flower. Wherever there is a commercial need for flowers, they are produced in different farms. We have in Mumbai near Pune and Nashik, huge amount of flower gardens, orchids, wherein flowers are grown only for commercial use. Otherwise, ornamental flowers are meant to remain on the plant. That is taking care of environment. Our sustainability is tourism being propagated through its principle of influence, the emergence of many other kinds of, such as ecotourism. And of course, I talk about various new trends that are coming in. We have seen agri-tourism in our previous slides, in our previous lectures, also rural tourism. Now, what's a rural tourism and responsible tourism? Let me talk about nature. I've already spoken about nature, taking care of nature first. As a result, the nature would continue providing you more environmental benefit for the future generation of tourism industry to benefit out of it. Likewise, responsible tourism. It's a duty of not only the tourism players, but a tourist himself or herself to be responsible, show the responsibility towards the destination that you are visiting. And agri-tourism, we have seen in our last lecture, in the chapter, that yes, agri-tourism is growing. People love to go to agriculture land, stay at the farmhouse, go for a holiday, try plowing the farm, drive a tractor, harvesting. All that is component of agri-tourism. So much so that some of the tourists go down and have fun, cook with the farmers there, eat their food, take a bath on the tube well. All these are agri-tourism. There are a lot of such agri-tourism projects and resorts all around India, especially where there is agri-tourism. And of course, rural tourism. Rural tourism also has a very wide canvas, which is you go and stay with a local host community. You stay with them. You help them in cooking their food. You learn their recipes. You live with the minimum possible benefits that you get out of it. Nothing called luxury in rural tourism. Maybe you are cut off with even internet or, for that matter, television network. And that's part of a rural tourism. You love to go to rural areas because at the end of the day, after a stressful week or 2 weeks, you need a rest. You need some change of environment. You get that stress out of you. So best place people find going down to rural. And again, don't forget, India is agrarian economy. Majority of India lives in rural areas. So the share of rural area and agriculture is slowly decreasing. But still, we have more than 70% of Indians who live in villages, rural area. With the advancement of technology, even many rural areas are equipped with modern facilities, at least the internet connection, the electrification of the township. So rural tourism is, you have rural tourism in Gujarat, Rajasthan, Kerala, Northeast, you name it, people go and live in a particular rural community, enjoy their culture, and they know quite well how to sustain it. The rural community are well educated, they are well educated, they are well trained, they are well socially served, that they understand what a tourist wants, and they come up with those type of solutions to them. Thank you very much. You were listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. Thank you.